This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, I finished chewing my broccoli. Definitely was not a mini Twix bar from our boss's office. It was broccoli stalks.
A lot of kale over there.
Lots of stalks of broccoli. That I had to get down. So it's probably caught in my teeth a little bit. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. The final hour of the program today. Benji is on the road. Of course, he's listening. He really enjoyed the Ben as an umpire scenario that we'd have to sit him on a bucket.
Yeah. Maybe just a fold-out chair. Just a
chair.
Give him a backrest there.
Elisa says, broccoli at 9 a.m. No, Elisa, it was Twix. It was a Twix bar. A mini one, though. I'm not a pig.
It's
just a mini Twix bar, just to get me through the last hour of the program. But no, Ben is driving. He's listening. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Drive safely. Somebody said, man, I can just picture him driving through to Las Vegas, just singing in the car. And I was like, you don't know Ben.
He doesn't sing. He doesn't listen to music.
He's going to listen to PGA Tour radio for five straight hours. If they start repeating programming, which they do.
He won't care.
Well, he won't care. Or he'll switch to, like, NBA Now. And I mean, he is going to...
Mad Dog Radio.
He's going to drink in five... What's the drive? Five or six?
It's like five and a half, six. Yeah.
Yeah. Call it six, because you got to go
probably
to Henderson,
a little bit longer
too.
To Henderson, yeah.
He's going to drink in 6 hours of sports talk after doing, 3 hours of sports talk this morning. And that is just our Ben, man. That is our Ben.
I think he's insane for driving. I get it with the golf clubs.
I do too, but
I'd still pay to just fly them,
anything.
I mean, I go to Vegas a couple times a year probably.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I drove out there when I was 21. I don't do it anymore.
You can't,
I just can't.
Man.
And I don't know what it is, because I will drive to, we'll drive to Phoenix three times a year.
Standing on our head.
No big deal. It's the exact same amount of time. Five and a half, 6 hours. It's the same. It doesn't bother me driving down the 8 into Arizona.
Yeah.
Driving to Vegas, and then the drive home is just the worst. I have.
Hell on earth.
I've told you before, two buddies, we rented a car here in San Diego. I don't even remember what we had. Drove it to Vegas, left it there, and flew back. That's not terrible.
Not terrible.
Like on a Friday afternoon, you're pretty pumped to get out to Vegas, fly, driving in at night. It's cool. It's the drive back. You're just like, you've been raging for 2-3 days, and traffic is
worst time of my life.
Nightmare. All it takes is one idiot on the road to get in an accident or something, and you're just completely screwed.
Yeah, I've taken some weird routes home because of the traffic and whatnot, but man, it is incredible. Tony says, imagine listening to sports radio while the hosts are talking about what your personal radio choices are while you're listening to them on the radio.
Little Inception.
It's Inception-esque for Benny, but I'm glad he's getting to go. I want him to cut loose, because I'll just say this. That cat needs to cut loose. He does. He deserves it. He deserves everything that comes his way. So I hope he has a great time. That dude. All right, let's get to the Rindle Report, Paulie.
And get things started here with our...
Here's Ben.
Today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report
with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Love carving guy.
Love carving guy.
All right. Let's see. We've got a couple of stories here in baseball with the same team. Get your thoughts on, let's see, they're talking about the Texas Rangers. First, Max Scherzer is scheduled to pitch in AAA. He's going to make a rehab start today. It's going to be his first game action since he had back surgery over the offseason.
Oh,
so
man.
That just sounds gnarly, dude. I can't even imagine back surgery.
And pitching with all, you know, the force and the torque that he pitches with. He uses every muscle in his body. Most pitchers do.
But he in particular.
He is violent. He's a violent pitcher. Rangers need him, man. They're sitting 12-12 right now.
He had surgery on December 15th to repair a herniated disc in his lower back. And Bruce Bochy said the plan is to throw about 50 pitches. He threw 40 pitches last Friday in a sim game. So he's going to be pitching in Salt Lake against Salt Lake, I should say. And then
not going to need much, you know, if he's healthy and
he knows
and
when
it goes
he knows
well.
How
yeah,
to do
you,
this,
you,
yeah,
you ask him when he's ready to come back and you let him come back and he's going to be a bit, you know, if healthy, he's going to be a big help for them. Imagine getting a Max Scherzer back. I don't know what he's got left in the tank, but if it's a lot or if it's a little, you know, they need him right now. They're a little bit that division is a little bit wonky right now. Everyone's kind of hovering around 500. The guys at the top, of course, then the Astros. Would anybody have bet the Oakland A's to have two more wins than the Houston Astros right now?
Nope.
I mean, the Astros are in a tailspin, and it's really hard to kind of pinpoint other than one of their stars. I mean, you think Xander Bogaerts is off to a slow start, and he is. Jose Abreu has like one hit the entire season. I mean, he's batting like 0-53 or something right now. It has been a horrific start for them. But yeah, you feel like if you're the Mariners or the Rangers, even the Angels are still in it. You feel
strike while the iron's hot, man.
That's the bummer right now about the Padres not playing all that well is that the Dodgers aren't playing all that well either. And that's kind of the thing that makes it so tough to stomach, especially losing games to the Rockies. So we will see how Max does and when he comes back.
And then just one other new note for the Rangers. 16-year MLB vet Johnny Cueto signed a minor league deal with the Rangers. He is 38 years old. It was a minor league deal. He's hoping to stay in the show one more season, but maybe a little bit of reinforcements there for the Rangers.
I don't know. Like Johnny Cueto a lot, but I don't. Let's put it this way. I'm glad that the Padres didn't sign him. I don't
agree with
think.
That.
I feel like that would be a move, maybe, hell, even last year, that they would have done. Like, yeah, just pick him up.
Yeah.
And don't know what he's going to be able to contribute. He did play for the Marlins last year. His ERA was over 6, 52 and a third innings. Hey, listen, I mean, if you can go out there and eat some innings for those guys and the offense can pick up and win some games, maybe it's a valuable pickup. But I don't foresee much happening with Johnny Cueto. I mean, all those guys that were signed to those minor league deals, like Joey Votto hasn't played yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of older guys that were signed in the offseason. None of them have made their debuts for their team yet. So we will see. Brandon Belt's still sitting out there waiting for somebody to sign him. There's still some names, some people that can help. Interested to see when the Padres will make a move here pretty soon to help fortify the lineup. A Donovan Solano, potentially. Just haven't heard any whispers at all about anything.
Elsewhere, we will move to some basketball here. Caitlin Clark continues to set records, and she's about to set another one. This is her shoe deal. She is signing, or expected to sign, a deal with Nike. It's a $28 million contract, which sounds like a lot. However, it's over 8 years. She's making $3.5 million a year.
What does the standard shoe deals go for?
Well,
do you know?
There's such discrepancy, obviously, between like the NBA and the WNBA. As far as, I mean, we talked about her salary a couple.
Massive. What's she making?
She's like making like $65,000 a year as a professional basketball player. So, I mean, LeBron, he signed the lifetime deal with Nike, but he's bringing in about $30 million a year.
All right.
So she's making 3.5. And I was reading here, she turned down a couple of other offers. Under Armour and Adidas both tried to get her, and according to the Wall Street Journal, Under Armour offered her 16 for 4 years, so a little bit more annually, but just 4 years. And then Adidas offered her $6 million over 4 years.
Okay.
And she ended up going with Nike. But regardless, 8 years, Caitlin Clark's signature shoes, and a pretty good chunk of change coming her way. I think it's great for the sport of women's basketball.
She has been.
You see, you think basketball shoes, you only think of the men's shoes, the LeBrons, the Kobes, the Jordans, you know, whatever. Durant has his shoe. Everybody's got a shoe line. But now I think for what college basketball, I think this year in particular, women's college basketball did for the sport. How many young girls want to be the next Caitlin Clark, Aja Wilson? It's so important that now they can get the Caitlin Clark shoe or whatever.
Adam Paul in the chat says the contract of her shoe deal is not guaranteed for all 8 years. I wonder how that works with her, but man, what she's done already is staggering. Somebody's in the chat said other WNBA players jealous. She's gonna have a rough intro. I was reading yesterday, I saw that Kelsey Plum story, so I was looking up what was going on with them. And Kelsey Plum was talking about her first game in the WNBA. I think it was Diana Taurasi, like, popped her in the mouth. Hit a three in her face.
Who
and
do you
said,
think you are?
And said, welcome to the league. I'm like, man, they do not play. Yeah. So it'll be cool to see. It's going to be cool to see her make her debut and all that. So
good for her.
Really good.
Finally, my last story here, a little goofy story. I thought we'd do a little Mount Rushmore, Woodsy. Your favorite.
Mount Rushmore.
But it's not. We're not going to do Mount Rushmore. I would ask you, though. So here's what happened. TMZ had a special with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
That aired last night, and they were asked. They're obviously on the Mount Rushmore of action stars.
No question.
Who would round out the Mount Rushmore? That's what they were asked. I want to ask you first before we play their answers.
Action stars.
Two more. If you put those two on, who goes on the Mount Rushmore of action movie stars?
Sly.
And Arnold.
Arnold. Van Damme? Jackie Chan?
Chan, yeah, Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee?
Between them, who goes? I mean,
I didn't see many Bruce Lee movies. I saw more Jackie Chan movies.
I would say, I'm going to maybe surprise you. Tom Cruise.
He's brilliant in action movies. He really is.
I think I've said this before. I think I've talked to my wife about it. I think he's the last true movie star.
He does it all.
The stunts and just the blockbuster hits.
Mission Impossible, he does all of them. Like, he did crazy. He's a really good action star. Yeah. Like, really, really good. That doesn't surprise me now that you say it. Jason Statham, they're saying in the chat. He's really good, too. Where do you stand on action films? I've not soured on them. I just don't see them as much as I did when I was little.
Yeah.
I liked them when I was little.
I guess it all depends on the type of action movie. Like, if we're calling Mission Impossible an action movie.
That's an action movie.
Top Gun an action movie, kind of. Like, I'm into that. You know, I had less than zero interest to see the new Roadhouse.
Yeah, I tried it. I remember I fell asleep. Yeah. It was terrible. Jackie Chan, I think, belongs up there. He's brilliant.
I think so, too.
He's really good.
Well, here's what Sly and Arnold had to say.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
I would put Clint on it. Clint Eastwood was always my hero. My inspiration.
Right. Well, we didn't ask you where your hero
he was one of those guys, just like Rich Park in bodybuilding, that spent time with me and talked to me. And the fourth guy you have to come up with.
I think it goes to Bruce.
Bruce Lee.
He's a very multifaceted guy.
Bruce.
He can do drama and comedy, whatever. And
Bruce
all the
Willis.
Same.
Willis.
But he was in quite a few seminal action
Die
films.
Die Hard.
Like Die Hard's a classic.
Incredible.
And those things don't go away.
They didn't ask who the best actors are, though. Like, oh, he can do comedy, he can do drama. We asked you who the best action stars are.
I think you can definitely make the case for both of those guys.
Die Hard was so good. He was so good in it. Thank you, Paulie. That is the Rindle Report. here on a Wednesday. Coming up next, we are going to do, you want to do Parker McCollum tickets here?
We'll do it after the next segment.
All right, we'll do it after the next segment. We will, Jesse Agler, we gave him a word last night, as we do every Tuesday. The Incorporator, he knocked it out of the park. Really the only bright spot in a really bad, bad loss last night for our San Diego
Action
Padres.
Movie stars Diesel says in the chat, Steven Seagal.
Seagal, how do you, I mean, the worst, it's probably functional karate, but when he does it, he's like, it's like slappy karate. I don't know. He's the worst singer of all time. We can bring that back if you'd like. We'll be right back. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When the girls start to strut, you could look at their butt, you shouldn't do that. The dress is just as pretty.
Oh my god, dude. Steven Seagal. When me and fling it up, you better know that's not Steven Seagal. When me and dash it up, make sure you black
it up. If you ever flap it up, then yeah. Me lock it up, pack it up like. At some point, he decided he was going to do a, he wanted to be a singer. And he decided to do a Jamaican song, a reggae song.
I don't remember. Now, was the rest of the album like this?
I can't remember.
Or was it just this one song?
I'll do a deep dive tonight.
Thank you.
You know, for show prep for tomorrow. It was 97.3 The Fan.
I'm working over here.
Yeah, it is. I remember watching a movie he did. I love his movies. They're horrible. They're horrific. I believe he's a horrific man. Like, I believe he's not a good person, is the reports that I've heard, you know, and read. His movies are so bad. Marked for Death, Time, or Hard to Kill. I mean, but they're so good. They're so, so good. And he does so many different characters. Like, in one of them, I can't even remember which one, he plays, like, the Italian, you know, Gino. And he's after Bob. Anybody seen Bobby Lupo? He's incredible. And then the next one, he plays like a Southern New Orleans cop or something. And so he does that whole deal. And he's really all over the map. And I think he thinks of himself as very well-rounded actor.
When the girls start to strut,
and he decided, I'm going to do
when the girls start to strut, you can look at their butt.
It is
Steven Seagal.
It is when the really girls start something. To strut, it's really you can look at their butt, you shouldn't do that. The other brilliant person that we know is Jesse Agler. And we give him a word every Tuesday, the Incorporator. If you missed it earlier in the show, we'll replay it for you here. He is so good at this. We gave him the word. I can't remember the name of it. What was it? Snollywoggle or something?
I can tell you.
All right, back on radio this week for the Incorporator. 5:40 first pitch tonight, and Paulie has got it loaded and locked, or locked and loaded for you,
right,
here, Jesse.
Right.
Snollygoster.
Snollygoster. Snollygoster. He loved it. He loved
Snollygoster.
It's a shrewd, unprincipled person.
Wow, that's great.
We don't get that reaction from Jesse.
Not really. He usually just goes, okay, okay.
He really liked that.
He enjoyed that very much and decided he needed to weave that into the broadcast last night.
It's the bottom of the seventh inning.
Bottom seven.
1-1 pitch, and he hits a chopper to second, charged by Bogart. Xander has it.
and slings the short throw to first in time. Two down as Bouchard advances to third base. And, of course, because of not only the sheer volume of hits, but the kinds of hits that Blackman has collected against the Padres over the years, I imagine most Padre fans just, the sight of his face, you know, makes them shiver and evokes a feeling of hatred. But everything I've ever heard about the guy is he's a wonderful human. He's no Snollygoster. He's a good guy, and he's got a great story with how he got to the big leagues. Here's Ezekiel Tovar, who takes the curveball low, 1-0.
First, a Snolly what? Snollygoster.
Like a bad guy. Or,
okay. I know they certainly can't stand his face, Padre fans, and they certainly probably hate that walk-up song at this point.
Tonight. So we're going to miss 1-1 on Tovar.
Yeah, again, really kind of the only bright spot in last night's game. And, you know, they'll get their chance to redeem themselves today. I'm a little nervous about this one. Paulie, Matt Waldron on the mound. Knuckleballs traditionally in the thin air. Not done great. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. I hate to start it with a negative attitude. I'm excited to watch the boys. I am every single night. Even if they break my heart, I count the minutes until it's first pitch time. I don't think the Rockies have announced a starter yet.
Not that I've seen.
But, you know, every time we talk about, oh, sure. Every time we say, oh, this should be no problem.
Gotta jump on this guy. 0-2 with an 8.43 ERA.
And I don't really believe in the announcer jinx very much. It's funny when it happens, but I really don't believe in the announcer jinx for things like this. It's funny when they say, now he hasn't given up a hit in his last 36 innings. Bam, base knock. Damn. I laugh. That makes me laugh. And what I don't do is I don't say, damn it, Don. How do you blow that, right? The no-hitter one, I feel a little bit different about that one. But I swear, right when they said it last night, right when they said, oh, listen, you got to get in this Rockies bullpen. They are just horrible. I went, oh, boy, here we go. Beeks comes in and just shoves. Night of his life. Three innings, three scoreless against the Pods last night. Couldn't get anything going. And I'm sitting here today going, all right, if I say on the air Matt Waldron's going to have a rough time, I hope to God that I'm wrong. I hope he goes out and goes 5-6 quality innings and we jump on TBD as soon as possible. But I got an email this morning, and if you guys don't follow, I'm not great with this. So it's a what would you call this on Substack? A blog?
Yeah.
A blog. It's called Letters to AJ. And it's written under a pen name of Arky Cianfrocco, right? So
who's you tell me this isn't
Arky. This is not Arky.
Okay.
So I get it. I love it. I think it's really good. It's very in-depth. It's funny as hell. So it's sometimes you need more than just the eye test when you're watching a baseball team. You need things quantified to better understand what you're seeing. We need new metrics for the San Diego Padres. So here are some extremely well thought out advanced metrics that are definitely not an overreaction to barely 15% of the season and a single bad loss in Coors Field. They've come up with punishment ratio. Okay. If you've watched every game the Padres played on the way to the 13-13 record, you have that sense that the Padres are committing a lot more errors than you'd expect from a good defensive team. But it feels like they're being punished. We talked about that earlier in the show. They have allowed 19 unearned runs on 17 errors. So they did everybody in baseball, and they lined it up with punishment ratio, which is unearned runs and errors. We are fourth in the league in punishment ratio with 118 runs scored. 99 of them have been earned, 19 unearned. So that's a really, really – you're right. When you feel that – they are top five of that. This is brilliant. Frustration index is another metric that they came up with. Unearned runs plus errors plus grounded into double play, which they make the point. Hitting into a double play is essentially like an error on offense, right? It just kills you. It ruins your inning. It's like an error. Yeah,
an offensive error.
It's brilliant. Subject
it's not a mental error, but it's
an error.
It hurts you.
Subject to luck and not necessarily indicative of the player's underlying skill, fluky and frustrating as hell. The frustration index. We are in baseball. Again, unearned runs plus errors plus grounded in double plays. Number one. Number one in baseball with a frustration index of 62.
It's a common sentiment in baseball. It has been forever. Like, errors hurt you. They always come around to score. A walk. You're up 0-2 and you let a guy get on base because of four straight, you know, you can't hit the zone. That guy usually comes around to bite you later. So that's not uncommon, but it does feel, it felt like the Padres are getting punished even worse this year, and then now you have,
and now we have literal proof. My frustration.
I don't like that.
And you know what's funny? As frustrated as I was after last night's loss, it was a frustrating one. You know, with a 3-run lead and your bullpen fresh and ready, their bullpen being terrible. That's why this game is dumb. You know, as Craig Elson says, baseball is stupid and you shouldn't watch it. Yeah, well, you wonder why you put yourself through it. I love it so much. I cannot wait for 5:40 tonight. I cannot wait to do this all again. We are gluttons for punishment. But if you are frustrated, you have every right to be. You know, they are, as it stands today, a mediocre baseball team. I don't know that I really expect it anymore. I don't like looking back and going, "Hell, if we had just done this and we had just done that." I understand we do that on a daily basis, but I can't let myself get lost in it. This team, in my opinion, is better than a 13-13 record right now. With reinforcements coming, we have not heard any update on Manny and their baby or anything like that. I hope everything is going well for them. But getting him back at third base, back in the lineup, certainly is going to help.
So, well, I don't remember if this was on the air or off the air earlier. We were talking about the paternity leave. So he gets 3 days,
I think so,
in Major League Baseball. So they were already expecting, most likely, I mean, he's not flying out just for the morning game, the day game on Thursday. So they're going to play a man down tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they well,
otherwise,
no, you get to
call. Do you have to put him?
Matthew Batten's up for him. He's already up.
Right, but don't they have to, like, reinstate Manny after 3 days is what I'm asking.
Oh, do they have to reinstate him? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that
so
works.
So that would mean they'd put Batten back down or
back
something.
Back down and
then
play,
just play a man down tomorrow.
Yep.
And you're expecting him back on Friday. So, yeah, hopefully we can get that going.
Yeah, you got to take care of business these next two games. And really, you got to take care of business tonight. Find a way to win with your number 5 starter on the mound. That's what good teams do. So you again, we're going to ask you every day to prove yourselves.
That's what good teams do.
Oh my God, thank you. Feels so good that my statement is backed up by the skipper, Mike.
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. But yeah, so find a way to win tonight. We will be right back. We will play. If you missed it earlier, Ben mocks the draft.
First,
certainly,
we're going to give away a pair of tickets.
Oh, let's
Parker
do that.
McCollum at Cal Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater on October 25th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But if you would like a pair of tickets, we've been giving away all week. 833-288-0973 Get you a pair of tickets to Parker McCollum.
Call now.
Coming up next, if you missed it,
Ben
one of our
draft.
Favorite traditions of the year.
Final segment of Ben and Woods today, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here. Had a fun morning with you guys. It's always fun to be able to come in and talk to you and hear from you after a crushing loss in, what month are we in? April. Yeah, we're in April.
Still in April.
And we're already crushed by these losses. And, you know, I did see Paulie yesterday. It's interesting because I did retweet it. Somebody had done a cool graph about attendance so far in Major League Baseball. And the Padres were number one. Let me get this straight here. 2024 home game attendance. Percentage of stadium capacity, 100% every game is a sellout. Padres are number one in baseball. Number one, highest. The Braves right behind them. The Phillies behind them. The Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Rangers, the Houston Astros are about 85%. They're all hovering around 80. Padres above 90. Looks to be about 95 to 96%, which is just insane. We are doing our part here in San Diego.
Have been. For
have
a long time.
Been.
Now.
It is truly incredible. You can say small market. You can say whatever. Numbers don't lie. They never lie, you know, and to see that right now and to know and feel and talk to so many people on a daily basis, man, that are crushed by an April loss. Is it a dumb reaction? No. Does it make a lot of sense? No, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be crushed by last night's game because we have a game today and they can redeem themselves and we can feel better about ourselves. I love that passion from this fan base. That passion, to be honest, is what has made us successful, right? their passion about hearing about, talking about, even yelling at us for, you know, the failures of the team. That's asses are going in the seats every single day because people in this town care about our baseball team. And you know, you look through this graph right now and you see, how about the Baltimore Orioles? Oh, everything they do is so good. They won 100 games last year. 50%. 50%. Why isn't anybody going to watch those games? It doesn't make sense. How about a big market like New York? The Mets, 50%. The Twins were supposed to be, you know, an up-and-comer, 50%. Your usual suspects, the Tigers, the White Sox, the Marlins, they're around 40%. But you've got teams like the Rays who are perennially in it. You've got teams like Kansas City Royals who are now like a really exciting team to watch. Nobody's going to watch them play. People are going to Petco Park. They want to see this team play. They want to see this team win. They want to see their superstars. So well done, Padres fans. I'm going to continue to praise you because you deserve it. Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. They're hovering around 60%. You know, the Brewers, we saw there was nobody at that ballpark. It's around 60%. And so, listen, man, like, keep that passion going. I'm never going to get mad at you if you get upset about losing a game in April. I'm just not going to because I feel the same way as you do. If you missed it earlier, it's literally our favorite day of the year when Ben mocks the draft. He's such a good sport. He works so hard on this. It's bad.
It's the antithesis to sports radio.
It is. It's bad, 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 but it's so good. Check it out in case you missed it. Ben mocks the
draft.
Right after traffic.
The 2024 NFL draft is now officially open.
All right. It's the moment we've been waiting for all year long. I'm sick to my stomach, excited, nervous, the whole thing. So
the rumors are flying. I can tell you that. There seems to be a lot of trade chatter early in the first round.
Schefter's phone's just blown up right now.
Could go down, yeah. The text messages are flying fast and furious around the league at the moment. Everyone anticipating the most important mock draft of all.
Maybe the best idea we've ever had, to be honest with you. I put this on the Mount Rushmore of Ben and Woods bit.
I think this might be the worst one of all time. I really have done myself.
Bro, it'd be hard to top last year or the year before that. But let's give it a shot.
All right. Let's start it off with the number one pick.
Pick is in.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. In a shocker, the Bears decide against taking a quarterback at number one. Instead, Bears coach Matt Eberflus says, quote, his team will run the keyboard offense. It's an option shift with Alt deleting the opposing defensive lineman to open up space and control and command the line of scrimmage and return the Bears to glory.
It's actually beyond brilliant. I mean, that was beyond brilliant. Also, I love Joe Alt. So that was
thought you'd like
brilliant.
I thought you'd like a Notre Damer there, number one.
What a shocker.
Now, listen, you've already just reeled me in. This is already a dub in my eyes. That's brilliant, Ben.
We're off and running.
We don't need to wait 15 minutes for the next pick.
The pick's already in.
With the second pick in the NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select
Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. Williams immediately announces his intention to enter the transfer portal. Quote, I really would have been okay playing for the Bears, but there's no chance I'm playing for the Commanders.
Not bad at all.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Third pick is in.
The joke is so, he makes it so literal.
I know.
I will not play here. I don't want to because they are a bad team and I would like to play elsewhere.
I like to put some big names in there as well.
I know you do.
Third pick, the New England Patriots are on the clock. Let's go to the podium.
There he is.
With the third pick in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots select.
Now, this is a surprise. Christian Mahogany, guard out of Boston College. New coach Jared Mayo trying to rebuild the offense and franchise after succeeding Bill Belichick. Quote, We'd never pass up an option to remodel our line with rich mahogany. We're also planning to add many leather-bound books to the organization.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
His laughter after
he just likes that one.
Every year.
He really liked that one.
There's some chatter going on now. I'm hearing some chatter.
Oh, no. Some moves.
Oh, yeah. Some text messages coming in here. Oh, yeah. We have our first trade.
Yeah, we do.
Of
yeah,
the
Vikings were on the clock. They are no longer on the clock.
Oh, let's go to the commissioner.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded the fourth pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select.
The Los Angeles Chargers have traded quarterback Justin Herbert and the 11th overall pick in the first round to the Minnesota Vikings for their number four overall selection. And they have selected J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh immediately guarantees McCarthy will win 8 Super Bowls, surpassing Tom Brady. And he then announces that in lieu of training camp, the Chargers will get ready for the season by watching every rerun of Judge Judy. No, that one didn't work for you.
Because
it's a Harbaugh's
Jim
weird.
Harbaugh was in the background of a Judge Judy taping.
Like, yeah, it's a Harbaugh's really weird kind of joke and kind of loves J.J. McCarthy a little too much.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know about the Judge
Judy. The Judge Judy thing, yeah.
No, I know he's
obsessed with Judge Judy.
He did get caught on the sideline eating a booger. I might have gone to that joke because he is a notorious booger
right.
Eater.
That could have worked.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right.
Well, They're not all deadly. Let's get back to it. Arizona Cardinals are on the clock.
That was the first one to make me sweat. That one made me sweat a little bit.
With the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select
Zach Zinter, guard out of the University of Michigan. Arizona GM Monty Ossenfort really liked what he saw at the combine. Quote, at 6'6", 332 pounds. He's got legs and he knows how to use them, so we had ZZ top of our draft board.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
ZZ top, huh?
Yeah, Zach Zinter. ZZ, that's ZZ his nickname. Top. ZZ.
A lot of offensive linemen in the first.
My draft, I believe in building from the trenches out.
Outward, yeah. Yeah. It's like golf. You work green out. That's
I think it's a wise strategy.
Oh, man. Well,
I'm pouring sweat right now.
The New York Giants are on the clock with the sixth pick, and this just came across the board here that we have another trade, ladies and gentlemen.
The New York Giants have traded the sixth pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With the sixth pick in the NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select
TJ Tampa. Cornerback from Iowa State. Quote, we couldn't risk letting Tampa fall any further in the draft and possibly going to a non-Tampa based team. I didn't have a ton to work with. I'm sorry.
You picked it.
I know.
Yeah, like 300 guys.
I know. I went through all like.
His name is Tampa.
I went through 400 draft prospects looking for some of these. They're harder than you think. All right, don't worry. We're not done yet.
Okay, I think it
gets stronger here.
Oh, and what is this, ladies and gentlemen? The seventh pick. The Tennessee Titans have traded the seventh pick. Another trade in the top 10. Trades. We're making Ben and Woods. Ben mocks the draft history here.
The Tennessee Titans have traded the seventh pick to the Baltimore Ravens. With the seventh pick in the Tennessee, the Baltimore Ravens select
Drake May, quarterback out of Duke University.
Wow.
With wide receiver Zay Flowers already on the roster, John Harbaugh is looking forward to see if April draft showers really do bring May Flowers.
That's pretty good.
I think that's my favorite so far.
That and the alt one's very good.
I had to get into the Ravens somehow to make that one work.
Very, very good.
Which is why we're in kind of a run of trades
here. Are they not confident with Lamar Jackson? That's
apparently
an interesting choice.
I mean, you know, it's like the Patriots. They're always looking for the next successor to their franchise quarterback. They may end up trading him to the 49ers in 3 years. Who knows?
That's a good one.
All right, well, with the eighth pick, the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock except we got another trade.
Wow.
Let's go to the podium. Commissioner Higgins.
The Atlanta Falcons have traded the eighth pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the eighth pick in the NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select
T. Tanner Bordellini, guard out of the University of Wisconsin.
Oh.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan says he plans to play Tanner next to guard Alfredo Gutierrez, giving his team a very tasty O-line of Bordellini Alfredo.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was great. That was really good.
I did not read that one when you sent them
really
over.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
The trades are the best part.
If I could even begin to explain how much extra work.
I want like a 40-team trade next year. I want like picks and everything.
Oh, don't worry. They're not done yet because the Chicago Bears are back on the clock again, but they're not staying in the number 9 slot.
This is the fifth trade of the top 10.
The Chicago Bears have traded the 9th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 9th pick in the NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select
Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback out of Alabama. You knew that was coming at some point. Chiefs GM Brett Veach couldn't resist the opportunity to pair Kool-Aid McKinstry with Kool-Aid man head coach Andy Reid. Reached her comment. All Veach had to say about the pick was, "Oh, yeah."
Wow.
That was great. Great.
Wow.
Is that it?
No. You guys still wrap up the top 10. Plus a little surprise.
All right. Oh. The New York Jets are on the clock.
You know they're going to butcher
pick.
This.
Yeah. They actually,
it's the Jets.
They just got the pick in time, and they're on the clock. Here's the commissioner.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select
Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. Not only is it a new pass catcher for Jets veteran quarterback, but we all know Mr. Rogers loves to sing about his neighbors.
Oh, very good. That's a good one, too. Benny knocked that out of the park. That is the annual Ben Mocks the Draft here on Ben and Woods. We are out of time. I did. I closed out early. I did. I shut down the camera early. You guys know what I look like. Final segment of Ben and Woods today, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here. Had a fun morning with you guys. It's always fun to be able to come in and talk to you and hear from you after a crushing loss in, what month are we in? April. Yeah, we're in April.
Still in April.
And we're already crushed by these losses. And, you know, I did see Pauly yesterday. It's interesting because I did retweet it. Somebody had done a cool graph about attendance so far in Major League Baseball. And the Padres were number one. Let me get this straight here. 2024 home game attendance. Percentage of stadium capacity, 100% every game is a sellout. Padres are number one in baseball. Number one, highest. The Braves right behind them. The Phillies behind them. The Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Rangers, the Houston Astros are about 85%. They're all hovering around 80. Padres above 90. Looks to be about 95 to 96%, which is just insane. We are doing our part here in San Diego.
Have been for a long time.
It is truly incredible. You can say small market. You can say whatever. Numbers don't lie. They never lie, you know, and to see that right now and to know and feel and talk to so many people on a daily basis, man, that are crushed by an April loss. Is it a dumb reaction? No. Does it make a lot of sense? No, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be crushed by last night's game because we have a game today and they can redeem themselves and we can feel better about ourselves. I love that passion from this fan base. That passion, to be honest, is what has made us successful, right? Their passion about hearing about, talking about, even yelling at us for, you know, the failures of the team. That's asses are going in the seats every single day because people in this town care about our baseball team. And, you know, you look through this graph right now and you see, how about the Baltimore Orioles? Oh, everything they do is so good. They won 100 games last year. 50%. 50%. Why isn't anybody going to watch those games? It doesn't make sense. How about a big market like New York? The Mets, 50%. The Twins were supposed to be, you know, an up-and-comer. 50%. Your usual suspects, the Tigers, the White Sox, the Marlins, they're around 40%. But you've got teams like the Rays who are perennially in it. You've got teams like Kansas City Royals who are now like a really exciting team to watch. Nobody's going to watch them play. People are going to Petco Park. They want to see this team play. They want to see this team win. They want to see their superstars. So well done, Padres fans. I'm going to continue to praise you because you deserve it. Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. They're hovering around 60%. You know, the Brewers, we saw there was nobody at that ballpark. It's around 60%. And so, listen, man, like, keep that passion going. I'm never going to get mad at you if you get upset about losing a game in April. I'm just not going to because I feel the same way as you do. If you missed it earlier, it's literally our favorite day of the year when Ben mocks the draft. He's such a good sport. He works so hard on this. It's bad.
It's the antithesis to sports radio.
It is. It's bad, 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 but it's so good. Check it out in case you missed it. Ben mocks the
draft.
Right
after traffic.
Right after traffic.
The 2024 NFL draft is now officially open.
All right. It's the moment we've been waiting for all year long. I'm sick to my stomach, excited, nervous, the whole thing. So
rumors are flying. I can tell you that. There seems to be a lot of trade chatter
a lot here of
early in the first round.
Schefter's phone's just blowing up right
could
now.
Could go down, yeah. The text messages are flying fast and furious around the league at the moment. Everyone anticipating the most important mock draft of all.
Maybe the best idea we've ever had, to be honest with you. I put this on the Mount Rushmore of Ben and Woods bits.
I think this might be the worst one of all time. I really have done myself.
Bro, it'd be hard to top last year or the year before that. But let's give it a shot.
All right. Let's start it off with the number one pick.
The pick is in.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. In a shocker, the Bears decide against taking a quarterback at number one. Instead, Bears coach Matt Eberflus says, quote, his team will run the keyboard offense. It's an option shift with Alt deleting the opposing defensive lineman to open up space and control and command the line of scrimmage and return the Bears to glory.
It's actually beyond brilliant. I mean, that was beyond brilliant. Also, I love Joe Alt. So that was
thought you'd like
brilliant.
Me. I thought you'd like a Notre Damer there, number one.
What a shocker!
Now listen, you've already just reeled me in. This is already a dub in my eyes. That's brilliant, Ben.
We're off and running.
We don't need to wait 15 minutes
for the next pick.
The picks are already in.
With the second pick in the NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select
Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. Williams immediately announces his intention to enter the transfer portal. Quote, I really would have been okay playing for the Bears, but there's no chance I'm playing for the Commanders.
Not bad at all.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Third pick is in.
The joke is so, he makes it so literal.
I know.
I will not play here. I don't want to because they are a bad team and I would like to play elsewhere.
I like to put some big names in there as well.
I know you do.
Third pick, the New England Patriots are on the clock. Let's go to the podium.
There he is.
With the third pick in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots select.
Now, this is a surprise. Christian Mahogany. Guard out of Boston College. New coach Jared Mayo trying to rebuild the offense and franchise after succeeding Bill Belichick. Quote, we'd never pass up an option to remodel our line with rich mahogany. We're also planning to add many leather-bound books to the organization.
Oh, my God.
His laughter after.
He just likes that one.
Every year.
He really liked that one.
There's some chatter going on now. I'm hearing some chatter.
Oh, no. Some moves. Oh,
yeah. Some text messages coming in here. Oh, yeah. We have our first trade.
Yeah, we do.
Of
yeah,
the
Vikings were on the clock. They are no longer on the clock.
Oh, let's go to the commissioner.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded the fourth pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select.
The Los Angeles Chargers have traded quarterback Justin Herbert and the 11th overall pick in the first round to the Minnesota Vikings for their number 4 overall selection. And they have selected J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh immediately guarantees McCarthy will win 8 Super Bowls, surpassing Tom Brady, and he then announces that in lieu of training camp, the Chargers will get ready for the season by watching every rerun of Judge Judy. No, that one didn't work for you.
Because
it's a Harbaugh's
Jim
weird.
Harbaugh was in the background of a Judge Judy taping.
Like, yeah, it's a Harbaugh's really weird kind of joke and kind of loves J.J. McCarthy a little too much.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know about the Judge
Judy. The Judge Judy thing, yeah.
No, I know he's
obsessed with Judge Judy.
He did get caught on the sideline eating a booger. I might have gone to that joke because he is a notorious booger eater.
That could have worked,
too. Yeah, that's all right.
Well, they don't all.
They're not all deadly.
Let's get back to it. Arizona Cardinals are on the clock.
That was the first one to make me sweat. That one made me sweat a little bit.
With the 5th pick in the NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select
Zach Zinter, guard out of the University of Michigan. Arizona GM Monty Austinfort really liked what he saw at the combine. Quote, at 6'6", 332 pounds. He's got legs and he knows how to use them, so we had ZZ top of our draft board.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Oh,
ZZ pretty, top, huh?
Yeah, Zach Zinter. ZZ, that's ZZ his nickname. Top. ZZ. A
lot of linemen moving in the. A lot of offensive linemen in the first.
My draft, I believe in building from the trenches out.
Outward, yeah. Yeah. It's like golf. You work green out. That's exactly right.
I think it's a wise strategy.
Oh, man. Well, I'm pouring sweat right now.
The New York Giants are on the clock with the 6th pick, and this just came across the board here that we have another trade, ladies and gentlemen.
The New York Giants have traded the 6th pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With the 6th pick in the NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select
TJ Tampa. Cornerback from Iowa State. Quote, we couldn't risk letting Tampa fall any further in the draft and possibly going to a non-Tampa-based team. I didn't have a ton to work with. I'm sorry.
You picked it.
I know.
Yeah, like 300 guys.
I know. I went through all like...
His name is Tampa.
I went through 400 draft prospects looking for some of these. They're harder than you think. All right, don't worry. We're not done yet.
I think
it gets stronger here.
Oh, and what is this, ladies and gentlemen? The 7th pick. The Tennessee Titans have traded the 7th pick. Another trade in the top 10. We're making Ben and Woods. Ben mocks the draft history here.
The Tennessee Titans have traded the 7th pick to the Baltimore Ravens. With the 7th pick in the Tennessee, the Baltimore Ravens select
Drake May, quarterback out of Duke University.
Wow.
With wide receiver Zay Flowers already on the roster, John Harbaugh is looking forward to see if April draft showers really do bring May Flowers.
That's pretty good.
I think that's my favorite so far.
That and the alt one's very good.
I had to get into the Ravens somehow to make that one work.
Very, very good.
Which is why we're in kind of a run of trades
here. Are they not confident with Lamar Jackson? That's
apparently
an interesting
not.
Choice.
I mean, you know, it's like the Patriots. They're always looking for the next successor to their franchise quarterback. They may end up trading him to the 49ers in 3 years. Who knows?
That's a good one.
All right, well, with the 8th pick, the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock except we got another trade.
Wow.
Let's go to the podium. Commissioner Higgins.
The Atlanta Falcons have traded the 8th pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the 8th pick in the NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select
Tanner Bordellini, guard out of the University of Wisconsin.
Oh.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan says he plans to play Tanner next to guard Alfredo Gutierrez, giving his team a very tasty O-line of Bordellini Alfredo.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was great. That was really good.
I did not read that one when you sent them
really
over.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
The trades are the best part.
If I could even begin to explain how much extra work.
I want like a 40-team trade next year. I want like picks and everything.
Oh, don't worry. They're not done yet because the Chicago Bears are back on the clock again, but they're not staying in the number 9 slot.
This is the 5th trade of the top 10.
The Chicago Bears have traded the 9th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 9th pick in the NFL draft,
The Kansas City Chiefs select
Kool-Aid McKinstry,
yes.
Cornerback out of Alabama. You knew that was coming at some point. Chiefs GM Brett Veach couldn't resist the opportunity to pair Kool-Aid McKinstry with Kool-Aid man head coach Andy Reid. Reached for comment. All Veach had to say about the pick was, oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
That was great. Great.
Wow.
Is that it?
No. Oh, you guys still wrap up the top 10. Plus a little surprise.
All right. Oh. The New York Jets are on the clock.
You know they're going to butcher
this. Yeah. They actually,
it's the Jets.
They just got the pick in time, and they are on the clock. Here's the commissioner.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select
Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. Not only is it a new pass catcher for Jets veteran quarterback, but we all know Mr. Rogers loves to sing about his neighbors.
Oh, very good. That's a good one, too. Benny knocked that out of the park. That is the annual Ben Mocks the Draft here on Ben and Woods. We are out of time. I did. I closed out early. I did. I shut down the camera early. You guys know what I look like. It's disgusting.
I was like, wait, that's just me.
I hate looking at myself in this camera every day. You're lucky that I love this job.
Now I'm putting it back on you.
I do not want it on me. I just can't. It's so close. Every single time I stare
far away now.
Right into my gullet. That should be the view for me.
We'll just all have our cameras eight feet away.
Crisscrossed throughout here. Thank you guys for being here today.
Real quick, some fun stuff, at least scheduled for tomorrow. Right around this time, actually, if you are listening, we are scheduled to have one Jake Cronenworth on the show at 9:30 on Thursday morning.
Please, Jesus, let him have a big day today. Okay? No 0-for-4 with two grounded in a double play. All right, let's pray for a big night from Jake and all the boys. We'll be back tomorrow. Got a bevy of guests coming by. It's going to be a wild one. See you right here at 6 a.m. Love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. It's Ben and Woods 97.3. So long.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.